saw people from Nebraska, Tim and Wendy Sherrill. You guys know them. They're fired up. They're sending love. I said, bro, when you go home to Detroit, pass by. I'm inviting a lot of people to pass by so you can come and share and fellowship. We have a lot of fellowship with the Indian leadership, with the Georges, the nation of Caroline George, and the Paul and Ronnie will be here next week on their way back from Canada. So we're going to have some people passing up and down, but it's good to fellowship. The reason I'm saying is that fellowship spurs your heart. It spurs you. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs, when you refresh someone, you get refreshed. So if you want to get refreshed, you know, we know refresh, right? That button in the computer. You do that. And so I realized I got to do that even with the phone. I mean, I knew it. But with the WhatsApp, I was trying to holler him, one of the leaders from Indonesia. I added his address, but I was not able to pick it up. He said, bro, in a very Asian language, bro, you got to refresh, bro. So refresh what? Refresh your contacts in the WhatsApp. Bingo. See, fellowship was good. So I got refreshed. WhatsApp got refreshed. And we got connected and he sent me the lesson. So I'll be sharing that incredible lesson from the book of Acts about conflict resolution. It's very, very useful and incredible for the kingdom. This time we're going to have a prayer before we talk about working of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, that you comfort that baby. Maybe the baby wants to preach. Lord, we thank you, God, for your love. God, I pray that you fill us with your Spirit. Fill us with your love, with agape kind of love. God, it's so great to be in the kingdom of God. I pray that we can be fired up about God's kingdom, but at the same time, Lord, that we will fire up other people, other folks here in West Michigan. Thank you, God, for all the ministries. Lord, help us have an incredible 2018 as we soar and put our hope in you in everything what we do. Lord, we love you. In his name we pray. Amen. All right, John 13, working of God's Spirit. Working of the Holy Spirit. By the way, it was great to see Roger Lamp and so many other people. It was just so refreshing. Folks from 30 plus years ago. I got two questions today for you. Are you led by the Spirit or Satan? And secondly, are you filled with agape love? Are you? We are in a spiritual battle. In Ephesians 6, it talks about very clearly that we are in a spiritual realm. That our forces of evil is around us. And he goes on to say in Ephesians 6, 10 to 13, if you want to write it down and study that out again, that our battle is not with what? Flesh and blood. Now, don't we all have flesh and blood? Go ahead, feel it. You feel it? Look at Perry's muscle. Yeah, it's about muscle. If you have muscle, no flesh and blood. Amen? So you got to add that, flesh and blood. But my battle, as the Bible says, Paul says, is not with Perry. It's not with Jonathan or Ota or Walter. Hi. Or Gary or whoever. It's not with the person at the desk and the security guy. It's not with your boss or any person in your shop where they cheated you maybe. But that's not your battle. It's not with that person. It's with the evil forces. And so today, I hope you understand the battle even more clearly today as we understand God's Spirit. Let's turn with me, John 13. I'm going to use the phone because I forgot my Bible in the other luggage. I'm looking all over. I couldn't find it in my car. I realized I didn't take it out of the luggage. But we got a phone. Amen. John 13, verse 1 and 2. It was now just before the Passover feast, and Jesus knew that his hour has come. You know, we use that language a lot. Brother, the hour has come. What do you mean, bro? Well, let's sit down and talk about it. To leave this world and return to the Father, how would you feel when you're ready to leave this world? Excited? Jesus got fired up at age 33. See, I knew that boy wants to preach one day. So Gary, I don't know what you're teaching the boy, milk and preaching the Word of God. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the very end. You know, Christ was so consistent. That is agape love we talked about last week. Is agape love is unconditional. You love regardless how people treat you. You love them anyway. You love because God did that. The evening meal was underway and the devil had already put into the heart of Christ, Judas, the son of Simon, Iscariot, to betray Christ. Point number one, are you led by the Spirit or Satan? When Christ is doing a good thing, having a great meal, a fellowship time, fellowship time, Satan is right there. Did you know that? Satan is right here when we want to fellowship. He's right here when we sing and we do what is right. In our last month, Satan didn't want us to serve as a body. We had two organized service projects to serve the community, and Satan said, well, this church is getting fired up after the rib cook-off. I'm going to distract them. So, if you remember Rick's office, that's all I'm going to say, they had church there in August. Remember that? Well, one person in the crowd had a bad attitude towards the Word of God. And so that one person, Satan entered his heart and decided to discourage Rick and the rest of the gang. So, we didn't know that until mid-September. We were supposed to do a service project with that organization. Amen? But a lot of people knew about it. And so they said to Rick that your church will no longer be able to serve their organization. As soon as I heard that, I said, man, Satan is ticked off. He's ticked off. He doesn't want us to serve. 2 weeks ago, another service project. We've been planning for 3-4 months. James and the whole board and the leadership, we're going to go help the kids against hunger. We're going to go as a church. We're all ready to go. Get on our cars, get on our truck, you know, put our sleeves up. I'm ready to work. And suddenly, even before the actual event happened, of all the things could go wrong, one chain snapped. The door fell on Chuck. Praise God, he's alive. Hurt his hips. And what an intense. It just broke my heart when I heard it. I appreciate James and Kelly and so many others reaching out and praying for them. But we haven't had a project yet. You know, he doesn't want us to serve. So we got to figure out another leadership. We got to talk about it today. We got to talk about it on the board. We got to do something this fall. We have to persevere in helping out. Amen to that. When we do what is right, the testings are going to come. This is normal. I've seen it all the time in my life. You know, I'm not going to go in detail with the washing of the feet. We talked about it. It's an example of serving one another. But I just want to talk about how in the passage in verse 18, when Jesus was doing the communion, passing the bread and the wine, Satan, verse 18, entered Judas's heart. Played with him. Prompting. You know, Satan doesn't work in a day. He keeps on prompting you. He tried to put negative stuff into your heart. You know, when that happened, Jesus was troubled in his spirit. That's how the Holy Spirit is. The Spirit is so sensitive, He knows when Satan is working. It's in a spiritual battle. How do you feel when you know someone is trying to betray you? How do you feel when someone leaves a fellowship? How do you feel when someone doesn't trust you? How do you feel about that? Satan is right there. Satan is right there. Today, my question for you, are you led by the Spirit doing what is right? Or is Satan prompting you, come on, do the wrong thing, do the wrong thing? Are you controlled by that? Betrayal hurts. You know, when you and I have a soft heart, we have the Holy Spirit, we can sense it. That is how God gives you that Spirit. Now, if you have an attitude in your heart and you're carrying it for a long time, then He's entered in your heart and He's working on you. And eventually, you will leave the fellowship. And that's what happened in this passage. He took the bread, took the communion, and he walked away. Let's look in John 13. So the first point, are you led by the Spirit or Satan prompting you to distract you? Look at verse 21. Verse 18, it's talking about, I am not speaking about all of you, but I know whom I have chosen. But this is to fulfill the scripture, the one who eats bread with me has lifted up his heel against me. I'm telling you now before it happens so that when it comes to pass, you will believe that I'm he. You know, Christ is always preparing his disciples for the battle. I'm letting you know before this happens. You know, it's so important as a church, as a leadership, we got to be ready for the battle. What is your next battle? How is Satan going to attack you? Do you know? You know? Christ knew in his spirit it's going to happen. He was already there at the communion table. You know, we're going to take a communion very soon. He's coming. He's looking at you. He will prompt you. He's going to keep on prompting. Come on. Hate that brother. Don't hang out with that bro, that sister. Oh, so-and-so, so-and-so. He's trying to divide all the time. But what I love about Christ, he never thought different. You know, I love that song, Loud Defense. Isn't it beautiful? You know what that song we just sang? The Loud Defense you and me alone. He'll protect you. And so here in this passage, as we continue reading, I tell you the truth, whoever receives the one I send receives me, and whoever receives me receives the one who sent me. After Jesus had said this, he became troubled in spirit and testified, truly I tell you, one of you will betray me. You know, our spirit needs to be so tuned in with God's spirit that we can sense it. We can feel it. That Satan is at work. Can we see that happening in our community, in our church? Christ knew that. So that's the point number one. Are you led by the Spirit, God's heart, or are you led by Satan? Straight after that, we see the disciples began to look at one another, perplexed as to which of them he meant. One of the disciples, the one whom Jesus loved, was reclining at his side. Verse 24. So Simon Peter motioned to him to ask Jesus which one he was talking about. Hello? Hey, Christ, listen, who's going to betray? Who's that going to be person? Leaning back against Jesus, he asked, Lord, who is it? 26. He answered, is the one to whom I give this piece of bread after I have dipped it. Then he dipped the piece of bread, gave it to Judas, son of Simon Iscariot. when Judas has taken the piece of bread, Satan entered into him. Look at the timing of it. Sat down, prompted, had a bad attitude, or had a different agenda, and then there you go. Who is it? They're having a conversation, and Christ took the bread, dipped into the wine, and gave it to him, and then, bam, Satan was right there, entered into him. And Jesus said to Judas, what you're about to do quickly. But no one at the table knew why Jesus said this to him. Since Judas kept the money bag, some thought that Jesus was telling him to buy what was needed for the feast or to give something to the poor. As soon as he had received the piece of bread, Judas went out into the night. Verse 31 goes to my second point. Are you filled by agape love, or is it all about you? Then Jesus gone out. Well, I want to make an observation here. He left the communion table. He took the bread, by the way, and decided to walk out. Whatever he came to do, do it. Okay, he obeyed Jesus in that one, but he was already controlled by Satan. Does Satan have you? Are you doing his will? Or are you doing God's will? Are you using God's Spirit? Are you being led by Spirit? Or is Satan taking you for a ride to do his work? You got to ask this question. Is the Spirit bold or giving into fear? Is the Spirit sharing the Word, or the Spirit keeping it all in? Is your spirit of love, or spirit of into yourself? Satan doesn't want the gospel to spread. Did you know that? How many of you knew that? Satan doesn't want to spread the gospel. So he will do whatever to stop spreading the gospel. He'll do whatever. He will discourage. He will destroy. You know, Mike Tolliver from San Antonio Church shared how the Honduras church, because of the economy and jobs and the government, they all got spread out. There are a lot of riots going on in Honduras. And a lot of the disciples lost their jobs, lost their homes. And they have no place to live. They're gone in the streets. They made an announcement. Robert Carrillo made an announcement. Brothers, there were like 300 people there at the conference. Whoever can give money, whoever can support, give them water, food, help out. So we took up a collection. I don't know how much was there. We took a collection. Praise God for our economy here, right? Amen? I mean, it's booming. I hope you're fired up and grateful for that. Their whole country fell apart. The church fell apart. What are you going to go by? Oh, God hates us. No, they love God. Are we ready for a crisis? I don't know what the crisis is. I don't know how Satan's attack, flaming arrow, is going to come and distract you. You may lose a job. You may lose a friend. You know, I was thinking about today about Lynn. I don't know your relationship with her, but today is usually the day when I go drop her. It's on the leaders' day. Every leaders' meeting, I help James and Kelly out, and not we don't need to drop and go back to make two trips, but I'll help her, and that's my time to learn. Today was the day. And I actually thought about it, but after church, I'm going to go drop her, and I realized she won't be there. You know, anything can happen to distract your faith. The love for God. Satan, it will try hard. He will try to distract you, derail you, and eventually destroy you. All of these. Secondly, are you filled with agape love? You know, what did Jesus do? For 3 years, did he change his love? No one in his group even saw that coming. Who is it? What? Are you kidding me? I mean, after 3 years, you're saying there's one of us here? Who's that? Who's that? I mean, I thought we were all buddies. We were all hanging out together. Yeah, we're all hanging out together, but one of them didn't have the right heart. Didn't have the right spirit. And Jesus still loved. This is agape right here. It's agape. He didn't have any favoritism. He loved everybody equally. Do you love everybody in this room equally? Or do you have favorites? There are walls in our fellowship. And that's why I promote triads. If you're not part of a triad, please be part of one. Talk to your family group leader. It's so important. I appreciate the brothers in our triad. We need to meet every week. Amen. We're going to do it. Ron and Brett, Steve, me and James, you're going to hang out every Thursday at 11:30. We're going to do it. Vitalis are going to be fired up with us because we're going to keep going there. They say, oh, you guys are back. Remember that lady over there? Because in the old place, we used to go every week and then we stopped or whatever the case may be. But now we're coming back. You're like, yes, she's all fired up. The other day, Brett had his kids and brought the kids, and now then the waitress, she was playing with the kids now. They're bonding, the kids. The black kids are bonding with the waitresses. That's how we spread that love. And you don't know how God's going to work. But anyway, my point is we need triads. We need each other in our lives to take care of our lives and get our heart right. Let's read John 13, 31 and 35. When Jews had gone out, Jesus said, okay, now it's 11. Now the Son of Man is glorified. He's so positive. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify the Son in himself and will glorify him at once. Little children, I'm with you only a little while longer. Huh? Everybody's like, what? Where are you going? You look for me. And as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I'm going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give you, love one another as I loved you. So you also must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. You know, Jesus demonstrated his love equally. He washed Judas's feet the same way. You know, like, oh, Judas, man, can you go? Like, I know you're going to betray me. Well, you know what, just pour the water. He didn't give him a half-hearted. He gave equally everybody the same way. Jesus protected his heart from the evil one. Are we protecting our heart from the evil one? You know, when you're filled with God's love, you won't have a bad attitude. I really believe that. I remember there was a time in my young Christian life, even the ministry life, the early days, I would have attitude towards all the leadership, all my disciples. Why is he challenging me? Why is he initiating with me? Why is he calling me? He's calling me into the room with another brother. You know, all bad attitude, all the skeptic, all that cynicism. Like, argh! Hey, how you doing, bro? Oh, good. What are you going to say? Yeah. I was not secure because I wasn't filled with God's love. And I knew that was a benchmark. I needed more God. I need to keep filling. I need to fill my jar with God's love so I can withstand the evil one. My battle is not with these brothers. It's with Satan. Are you filled? Are you filled with God's love? Are you filled with something else? It's all about you. If it's all about you, then God's going to work on your heart. He still loves you. That's the great thing about God. He still loves you. He loves me. He loves all of us. Amen to that. But being a disciple, we got to be filled with God's love. It's all about love. In Romans 5:5, God's love has been poured into our hearts. Filled. If it's half full, half empty, we got to fill it up. Get in the Word. Fill it up. Call one another. Pray. Fill it up. We may miss. Maybe we miss something. Fill it up. Should be our lingo. Hey, bro, I'm hurting. I'm half full. Amen. Let's get together and pray and have a Bible study. Don't wait for a crisis. Well, if our economy or something bad to happen, now's the time, because one day Satan will be there. You may have to wash their feet if you want. But he did it because he wanted to fulfill God's purpose. What's happened? And so today my question for you, as we conclude, are you filled with agape love, or is it all about you? I'll share the story and we'll close it up. I was good at fellowship with Mike Tolliver, San Antonio Church. And in his message, one of the points he talked about is that he reached out to a pastor 31 years ago in 1987 in Africa. He was doing ministry work in Mozambique. He met a pastor and he started writing letters and email back in the day. Back in 87, it was just a letter. He wrote a whole letter, sent him, encouraged him, reached out. And there was no response. There was like in and out response. Oh, it's okay. And yeah, we got our church and our doctrine. But over the years, Mike Tolliver consistently reached out. And the church was planted. People from Brazil came, Sao Paulo, and they started reaching out. It was a collective collaboration. This year, he contacts him through email. He says, Mike, I'm ready to study the Bible. And they just got, I don't have the picture, but they just got, he and his wife, studied the Bible, repented, and got baptized. Isn't that awesome? Now, he had a church of 300. All of them are studying the Bible. Is that incredible or what? 31 years? You see the irony of that? Anyway, today, are we going to give up on people? Are we just going to just give a handout? Here's my card. Hey, student. Oh, my card. I gave it all away. Campus card. Whatever. I can't find it now. Anyway. Here's another card. Here, come to church. Is that all the love? It's so easy. You can even throw it at them. Hey, how you doing? You want to come for Bible talk? What kind of love is that? Wasn't meant to fall, but that's it. One phone call. Hey, you want to come to church? No answer. Ugh. Attitude? What's that? You got to fill it with the heart, with God's love. What about texting? They're not responding. Ugh, it's been 34 hours. Ugh. Maybe they had a car accident. Maybe they're in the hospital. Maybe they died. That happened. Back in Sri Lanka, Colombo, we were leading the church around 15 people. One sister didn't show up to church. Oh, she's busy with family. Second week, didn't show up. Oh, she's busy again. We all assuming, we don't know, there's no phone call, whatever. She's like far away, like an hour away. Grab a taxi, whatever. 3 weeks, I said, honey, get some sisters and brothers. Let's go love the sister. I haven't seen her for 3 Sundays. We went to the home door, knocked at the door and opened the door, and the family said she passed away. Dead and gone. I felt so bad. Oh! I hope that never happens in our fellowship like that. And so-and-so doesn't come to church. You don't know who they are, where they're at. Then you finally contact them and find out. Their funeral was 3 weeks ago. How do you feel? Ouch. That's not God's law. That's not agape. We got to care for one another. We got to make sure in our family groups we do that. We love. And I was pretty extreme. I learned a hard lesson since then. Hard lesson. You can't ignore people. You got to keep on loving people unconditionally. Let's go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, we come before you, Lord. God, we love your spirit. Christ was so fired up to love and show his full extent of his love by caring, by washing their feet, by bending down, by bowing down, to touch their feet, to pour the water, to wash it. When he was going around, there was opposition from Peter and emotionalism and rebellion. And God, Judas didn't say nothing, but he just took his leg out. But you still loved him, just like anyone else. The same love. Father, I pray that we will be led by the Spirit and not by the prompting of Satan. God, help us to fill our hearts with your Spirit, full of love. Not anger, not resentment, not bitterness, unforgiveness. Lord, when we are full of love, we can shield. Our battle is not with each other. God, our battle is against Satan. Let's declare war on the evil one and not one over each other. God, help us, Father, to fill our hearts, to fill that bottle, that jar, that heart of ours you gave us, Lord, that we'll continue to pour our love into our hearts so we can be filled. When we are filled, we can love, we can give, we can teach, we can share, we can forgive, we can wash someone's feet, we can do whatever, Lord. You give us freely and we receive it freely. Father, help us to be people in this city filled with your love. God, as we take the bread and the wine, help us to remember what you have done for us, willing to die for us. You're willing to shed blood so one day we can be washed by the blood of Jesus. Thank you so much for providing, for inspiring us, God, to really love one another. Extend that love so that many will know that we're true disciples of Christ. God, we're not perfect. We'll never be. But God, help us to strive to do that. Thank you so much for this morning. In his name we pray. Amen.